Wednesday. Today we begin the Lent season, which is the season that lasts 40 days leading up to the celebration of resurrection. And one of the reasons Christians have practiced this season for almost 2,000 years is because it's to remind us that before we get to hope, we go through despair. Before we get to the light, we go through darkness. Before we experience resurrection, there has to be a death. And Lent is about coming to terms with all the ways that death and darkness and despair are at work in us right here, right now. And it's being open and honest about those. There's this verse in Romans where Paul puts it like this: all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody, every one of us have sinned. We've all fallen short. And so we begin today, we come together today to worship absolutely, but also to confess. To confess that in big ways and small ways, in what we've done and what we haven't done, that we have taken God's good world off track. And as we prepare for Easter, we want to be ready to really celebrate resurrection, to really participate in resurrection, to experience new life right here, right now. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to read several things together tonight. So we're going to read this prayer that's traditionally used on Ash Wednesday to begin worship. So I'm going to invite you just to read with me, and then we're going to sing Almighty, and you ready? Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I've had questions without answers. I've known sorrow, I have known pain. But there's one thing that I'll cling to. Sustain me.
Read to you from Psalms 51, a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet your desired faithfulness, even in the womb, you taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from blood guilt, O God. You are a God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise.
When the music fades and all is stripped, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry.
The next part that I'm going to read is the Apostles' Creed. This is an ancient Christian expression of belief from as early as the 2nd or 3rd century. It mentions Catholic in it, but actually this means universal. So I'm going to ask actually if you will please stand and read it along with me. Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Too short to be lukewarm, this I know, this I know. Jesus, you can have it all, my every breath, my every breath. I need your power to live this life. This I know, this I know. I can't do this by myself. You're Christ in me, my only hope, my only hope. As I walk this broken world, tune my life to heaven's song, for I am yours. And when all is said and done, tune my life to heaven's song, forevermore, forevermore. by the key. Live for Him, live for Him. If you know you're loved by the key, sing, sing, sing. If you know you're loved by the key, live for Him, live for Him. If you know you're loved by the key, sing, sing, sing.
Early on in the story of the Bible, we're told that God made a beautiful world, a world where everything was in its proper place, a world without sin, without brokenness. I mean, this world is the world we all dream of. It's the world that we somehow in our bones feel like we were made to live in. And yet, very early on in the story, we hear of how sin enters God's good world. The first human beings, which in many ways represent all of us, are confronted with a choice. They can choose to follow the path that God has set them on, the path toward really being in relationship with Him and really being in relationship with each other, the path of wholeness. Or they can choose to leave God's path and make their own way. And we're told that in this story about Adam and Eve, but about us as well, we're told that the first humans, much like the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation, millionth generation of humans, we all make the same choice. We take the forbidden fruit. And what happens in this story is immediately when they take this forbidden fruit, their eyes are opened and they realize that something serious has happened to them. That things are not going to be how they were anymore. And as part of this, God enters into a conversation with them about what they've done. And as a part of this conversation, they're confronted with some really harsh news. Notice Genesis 3, God makes this observation. Now that these first people have taken things off track, to Adam, the first man, He says, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Next. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. See, the story of Genesis begins with God scooping up a clod of dirt and forming a human being out of it and breathing into this human the breath of life. And now, because sin has entered God's good world, God makes this observation. Now, you have begun a process of decay. You have entered into a process of death. You are dying. And the ground that gave birth to you is the same ground that will receive you. And we gather together on Ash Wednesday, really for this reason. We need to be reminded of a couple things. We get really busy and we have hectic schedules and life happens and we kind of just breeze through things without really thinking about them sometimes, at least I do. And I think we need to be reminded that you and I, we are dust. We are a vapor. And one of the things that ashes have come to symbolize is this frailty of what it means to be human, that we are really ashes and dust. That's all we are. Scripture talks about how that just like the grass withers, so will we. Scripture talks about how that our lifetimes, if you could like breathe on a mirror and watch that fog up and then watch it go away, that's what our lives are. It's their blip on the radar of time. And so we gather together today to be reminded that how we live matters and our choices matter because we get one shot at this. We don't get a redo. Who we are now, who we're becoming, that's who we're going to be. That's where we're going to leave that legacy, but that's who we're going to be. And then ashes have also come to symbolize something else. They symbolize our brokenness and our humanity, but they symbolize also repentance. In Scripture, if you read through the pages of Scripture, you'll find when people got really serious about their sin and the things they'd done that they shouldn't have done, the things they didn't do that they should have done, when they got really serious about this, they would often cover themselves in ashes as a way of saying to God and saying to each other, we have really, really, really messed this up. We have really gone off track. We have really missed the mark. And so we gather on Ash Wednesday. We gather to be honest about our darkness, because all of us have darkness in us. We gather to be honest about the brokenness we carry around, because all of us carry around some brokenness. We gather to be honest about death because we all carry around death in us. But the good news is that what we're celebrating, this is a beginning point. This is not the end of Lent, right? This is the beginning of Lent. And Lent heads toward Easter. And on Easter, we celebrate new life. On Easter, we celebrate light. We celebrate resurrection. We celebrate that in the midst of a broken world that's falling apart, God has spoken a new word over his creation. And that is the word Jesus. And that Jesus puts all this back together. That what began in a garden, sin enters history and things begin to fall apart. In a garden, a tomb was left empty and new creation was born. I love how 1 John, the writer of 1 John, puts this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So tonight, as we gather together, there's one fact you know about me and one fact I know about you. And we may know lots of other things about each other, but here's what we know about each other. We are all sinners, right? We all find ways to take this off track. We all find ways to miss the mark. We all find ways to not do the things we're supposed to do and to then do things we're not supposed to. We find ways that we're really, really creative in how we find these new ways to do things. We're all sinners. But notice this next part. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The promise of Lent isn't. I mean, can you imagine if all we did tonight was get together and confess that we're all sinners, broken and messed up, and we said, peace be with you, and send you back out into the world? That would be very depressing. But the story of Lent is a story that we're marching towards something. Yes, we're human. Yes, we're broken. Yes, we carry around guilt and shame. Yes, we sin and go off track in all sorts of ways. But God has not abandoned us. And the same God who took the dirt clod and formed the man and the woman is the same God who longs to pick us up and breathe new life into us. And so as we come together tonight, we come together to confess. Because when we confess the ways we've fallen short, when we confess the ways we've messed up, when we confess all the brokenness and pain, we confess the way we've hurt others, when we confess the way we've neglected the good and embraced the evil, when we confess those things, it frees us up to receive grace and forgiveness. And we don't live in a world that really encourages us to confess very much. We live in a world that says, just stuff it. Just deal with it personally, quietly. Don't be honest about it. Don't be open about it. Because if you confess it, then people are going to know you're not perfect. Well, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to have a big group confession. One of the traditional practices at Lent is to go through something called the Litany of Penitence. And so I'm going to ask Jennifer if she would to come back up. And we're going to read this group confession together. And so while we're not going to confess out loud and publicly right now, all the little things we've done individually, like I'm not going to hand a mic and pass it around the room. We'd be here all night. I've got a list, you know. I'm sure many of you do too. So we're not going to do that. But what we're going to do is we're going to stand and we're going to read some confession together. Now, here's how this will work. Jennifer is going to read the bulk of it. And every time you see something on the screen, which will generally be a response to what she's reading, when you see something underlined, we're going to say that together. And I'll lead the underlined group. I'll lead you guys and she will kind of lead us in the confession. Then I'll lead you in the response. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right, let's stand together.
Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another and to the whole communion of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned by our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives.
We confess to you, Lord,
our self-indulgent appetites and ways and our exploitation of other people.
We confess to you, Lord,
our anger at our own frustration and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves.
We confess to you, Lord,
our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts and our dishonesty in daily life and work.
We confess to you, Lord,
our negligence in prayer and worship and our failure to commend the faith that is in us.
We confess to you, Lord.
Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs that we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts towards our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who came after us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. Favorably hear us, for your mercy is great. Accomplish in us the work of your salvation, that we may show forth your glory in the world. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord, bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when we read those words, it's one thing to just repeat some words that we all say together. We confess to you, have mercy on us, accept our repentance. But if you listen to what we just said together, what Jennifer read to us and then what we responded, that's pretty much our lives, isn't it? All the ways we have been indifferent to the good around us, and all the ways we've embraced the evil around us. Evil in small ways, evil in big ways, ignoring the plight of those who are less fortunate, who need our help, ignoring the call of God to serve others, ignoring, and turning a blind eye to all the good that is around us. And so when we say that, when I hear all of our voices together, what I imagine is that not only us in this room, but Christians all over the world today, and Christians throughout history, have gathered together and confessed these things together. God, we confess. We have taken this off track. We have sinned against you. We have sinned against each other. We have sinned against the world you made. We have taken this thing way, 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 way off track. And yet we're reminded that when we confess, it opens us up to God's grace. It opens us up to compassion. It opens us up to forgiveness. So one of the ways Christians have gathered on this day throughout almost 2 millennia now, one of the things that they do when they get together and confess their sins is they receive what's called the sign of the cross. And so somebody, for almost 2,000 years, they've taken ashes and they've taken them and they've marked them in a cross on their forehead. And this is, I don't know if you've ever, before we have started doing this here, if you ever saw somebody like that and you tried to tell them you've got something on your forehead. Why do Christians do this? It's an outward expression of something we've confessed. What we are saying by taking these ashes upon us, it's known as the imposition of ashes. Well, here's what we're saying. We're saying that we recognize that dust we are, and to dust we will return. We are temporary, and how we live matters. We are confessing to each other that we have sinned, that we recognize we have sinned. We have been disobedient to God. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not loved God with our whole heart. And we're also very hopeful when we take these ashes because they remind us that resurrection is coming and that grace is real and that forgiveness is possible. So tonight, we're going to have a time where we're going to have some of our leaders in the back and they're going to, if you would like to participate, make the sign of the cross and ash on your forehead. It's known as the imposition of ashes as a way of saying to each other, yes, yes, we've sinned, but we are hopeful, and we believe in grace, and we believe that we're headed toward a resurrection. And so in just a moment, we're going to have some music play, and we're going to do that. We're also going to have communion available. Communion is this other Christian ritual, which it reminds us that Jesus' body was broken and blood was poured for us. So how does the sin we carry around get dealt with? God deals with the sin we carry around, the brokenness, all the ways we've messed this up. God deals with it in a definitive act. On the cross, with the body of Jesus broken and the blood of Jesus poured, and he opens for us the path to life, which is a path of death that leads to resurrection. Tonight we recognize death is at work in us, that sin has a hold on us. It's like a disease that takes us over. But we also recognize and we say together through this Eucharist, through the communion, through the body broken and blood poured, that there is hope. Sin does not have the final word. Death does not have the final word. Brokenness, shame, guilt, darkness do not have the final word. God does. And God's final word to all of our sin and all of our shame and all of our brokenness is the body broken and blood poured. It's the empty tomb. It's the new life that is possible right here and right now. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then I'm going to invite you. Whenever you're ready, you can take some time. I would encourage you, if you want to take some time to meditate, think, pray, Just talk to God about what you're about to do as we enter this Lent season, to make this really personal for you as we join together and corporately, but also very personally, prepare ourselves for the next 40 days that lead up to Easter, that lead up to celebration, that lead up to life. And so I'm going to ask you to bow our heads. We're going to put a prayer on the screen. I'm going to read, and just let's bow our heads. You bow your heads with me, and then as we finish this, they'll be in the back with communion and with the ashes. God, our Father, you create us from the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be for us a sign of our penitence and a symbol of our mortality. For it is by your grace alone that we receive eternal life. In Jesus Christ, our Savior. And everybody said, amen. So we invite you as the music plays to take whatever time you need to think, pray, converse with God. And then we'll invite you to go to the head to the back to receive the ashes and to receive communion.
I repent. tired from walking. And Lord, I'm so alone. And Lord, the dark is creeping in, is creeping up to swallow me. I think I'll stop and rest here a while. This is all that I can say right now. And this is all that I can give. And this is all that I can say right now. And this is all that I can give. That's my everything.
I invite you to stand one more time. Tonight, as we in this time of worship and communion, as we go back to the real world, as we go to live out this Lent season in hopeful expectation that resurrection is coming, I thought, what better way could we end than to read this prayer that Jesus gave us, that Christians for 2,000 years now have read and say and prayed together. And I want to invite you, as we pray this as kind of a benediction together, let's really think about the words we're using. Let's think about what we're praying for. What are we asking God to do in this prayer? And let's make this prayer very corporate but very personal at the same time. All right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. If you would like somebody to pray with you or talk to somebody, I'm going to hang out down here. We have other leaders in the room who will be around, so we'd love to pray with you. Join us on Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 as we begin our new Lent series through the seven deadly sins. Grace and peace be with you.